My great privilege and honor to introduce to you our special guest this morning. I was thinking on the way into church how he is a man that really epitomizes the best of America. He's a man whose life could have gone in a variety of directions, but he chose character over circumstance, hard work, sacrifice, service to others, loyalty to his God, to his family, to his country, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was elevated because of the beauty of his service and his humble spirit to one of the highest levels of leadership within the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God, serving as one of the six executives of a 3 million member and adherent organization that is 64 million strong outside of the U.S. Our special guest has spent his life in service to others. He served our country proudly and with distinction, an airborne infantryman in the Vietnam War, where he received the Purple Heart and was awarded the Bronze Star. He served as a former police officer, detective, a U.S. postal inspector. He has an earned bachelor's degree from St. Petersburg Junior College in criminal justice and a master's degree from Regents University in business management with an emphasis on nonprofit organizations. He currently serves as the executive director of the Assemblies of God U.S. Missions. And he may be most proud of the fact that he's been married 47 years to a beautiful lady named Phyllis, and together they've raised six daughters who are changing the world in their own right. Today, we are honored to introduce to you a man that is quality in every sense of the word. Would you give a great big welcome to Brother Zolly Smith as he comes this morning?
Oh, Bishop. Thank you so much. Well, let us give honor and glory to God today, because we are who we are by his grace and his grace alone. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. So let us give God a gracious clap offering of joy and victory and peace. Hallelujah. Wow, what an awesome day this has turned out to be already. I want to thank you, Glad Tidings, under the leadership of the bishop and overseer, Dr. Perry, and the First Lady, Sister Patty, for the great leadership and the great recognition of this opportunity to be patriotic. I know they're not just on this day and you as well, but this is a special occasion, the birth of our nation. And on Tuesday, we will be celebrating 241 years of the birth of America, a very young nation compared to nations that are around the world. So we need to look back over 241 years. They've not been great years for everybody. But for some reason, God has given this nation the fortitude to recover, to recoup, and to always stand strong under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so honored of all the military veterans who stood today. And I want to thank you so much for your volunteerism and dedicated commitment to sacrifice all that you are, that our nation might understand the beauty of freedom. I also want to thank our first responders, our law enforcement personnel, who are men and women who sacrifice so much day in and day out that the citizens of this great nation would understand what it means to live in peace and enjoyment of your own families and friends. I also want to thank our individuals who sometimes are overlooked, and those are the individuals that work in our hospitals and our emergency transportationists and all those that play a major role in touching and in some way maintaining the life and sustainability of all humanity. There are so many people in this nation that give of themselves. And then, of course, there's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Pastor stated so well, so clearly. that it is the church that has made America who she is. Thank God for all the other things that have transpired, but had it not been for the church, where life is truly found, where freedom truly exists, where would we be today? So I want to thank each of you, the great men and women of the body of the great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father God Almighty, moved and empowered and administered by the Holy Spirit. So thank you for your sacrifice of turning your back on the things of the world to turn to the great God of our salvation. God bless you. I have several other people in here that I'd just like to acknowledge, and I want to thank God for Brother Solomon Turner and Shonda Turner, who served as missionaries in Kaiapa while I served as executive director. They served very well. And when he called and said that we're moving on, I rejoiced in excitement, knowing that we were losing some great leaders. But one thing about great leaders, they never stay in the same place not too long. There's always another place, another step for them. So it is so honored that under the leadership of your great pastor, Pastor Perry, that God opened a door and he allowed it to open, that they become a part of Glad Tidings. You are blessed with their presence. And thank you, Pastor. And I know there's Brother Jones here who's at McNeese. He came up and greeted me this morning, and he had good news. He has indeed raised his support, and I know many of you helped him. He's now getting ready to receive his appointed general as a United States missionary to McNeese and to this great nation. So Brother Jones is here somewhere. And to all the missionaries that exist under the seven windows to America out of U.S. missions, if you're here, I just want to say thank you. You've soldiered well, and don't stop. Keep doing it. Well, I was so impressed as I drove by yesterday and Brother Turner pointed out the three flags flying so high, a symbol of a recognition and acknowledgement, a symbol that something great is being acknowledged by this place, this body. And then as we drove up, all the flags of Old Glory flowing in the wind as we came up, and then to come and see red, white, and blue, the songs, the praise team. Folks, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty patriotic today. Thank you. I'm here to share the word of God in a way that is not only so fitting, but especially on this day. You see, in 1977, on the 4th of July, I gave my life to the Lord on the 4th of July weekend. And as a result of that, 4th of July is always a special place for me. On top of that, I love America. Not only because I happen to be blessed to be born here, but I was fortunate to serve in the military and to serve during the Vietnam conflict, to fight for democracy and the liberty of others around the world on behalf of this great nation. I also was fortunate enough to play a role in law enforcement for 12 years, both on the local and federal levels, to protect our citizens, to make sure that you could enjoy the privileges and the freedom that we have in this nation from one another, which is unfortunate. But I also had the privilege of being called by God to preach his gospel. I call it saving America. And so I've got a major investment in this great nation, and it has given great returns over the years. And I would say, if I could define one statement that would sum up everything, is that I've strived hard to be a good soldier. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about a good soldier. You see, Everything about life is based on two principles, especially after the fall of humanity, our first parents. The fall of our first parents resulted in God implementing his divine, supernatural, strategic plan of salvation. His divine, supernatural, strategic plan of salvation. I want you to just think for a minute on this strategic plan of salvation. The most powerful word that should be in the vocabulary of every human in America and throughout the world, but especially to the church, is that word, salvation. Salvation means freedom. It means to be redeemed. It means to be placed in an environment, in an institution that is going to reign forever and ever. You see, salvation is so awesome because it allows one to escape from the negative, the impossible, to the positive and the possible. This salvation plan is not restricted to a certain unique people group or country or nation, but for all humanity. We know it is and know it as the Great Commission. Genesis 3:15 was the introduction of it. When God spoke these very words to our first parents and to the serpent, representing Satan. The woman will give birth to a seed, and that seed will come, and his heel will be bruised by the serpent. But that seed will crush the serpent head. That was the introduction of this great, divine, supernatural, strategic plan of God called salvation. This plan has four key operatives. They are: one, God, the Father, the chief architect. Second, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the executor. And third, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus that dwells within us, is the administrator. And fourth, the saints, the commissioned soldiers of God. And so these four key operatives all play this role in this great strategic plan of salvation. And therefore, all who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, we are enlisted, commissioned soldiers in the army of the Lord. The target of God's plan, the objective of that plan, is the perishing, the lost, those individuals who will leave and die, and their resting place for eternity will be the lake of fire, where Jesus said there are only two things that they can do throughout eternity's eternity, and that is to weep and grind their teeth forever and ever while they're being tormented in vicious ways that we could never think of. I know I do not desire to go there, and I certainly desire that no one else go, not even my worst enemies. And so you can see then that this is setting up the strategy and the plan for something great. This is the insights of every believer and every person that exists, is to realize that we are a part of a warfare that extends throughout humankind. Regardless of what nation or ethnicity, you are in a war. And those who do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they are the perishing. They are the lost. But those of us who are in Christ, we are the rescuers. We're the soldiers. We're the ones that are commissioned to go and fish for souls, for men and women, to go and to snatch them out of the lake of fire into the kingdom of God. You see, we have a great assignment, an awesome task that can only be filled by people who understand that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead dwelling in us richly, has empowered us to do the impossible. Because everyone who comes to Jesus is a miracle. You are blessed greater than you can think. And some may not realize it until the day that the trumpet sounded and the voice of the archangel cried and Jesus returned. But while we wait for that, we must be soldiers in the army of the Lord. You see, God is quite a war statistician. Should I say the best? Which began prior to the fall of man. He has much experience. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it states, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, freedom, by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, the two life principles that are so very present today and throughout humanity and history, freedom and bondage. One is focused on liberty and the other slavery. Everyone desires freedom, but from different perspectives. There are those who desire freedom to live as desired and those who desire freedom to enslave and violate the rights of others. Both are threatened and driven by uncertain fears toward others who do not have the same perspectives on life. And these two principles become the catalyst for war. Romans 6:18 states, "And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." You see, until everything is changed, there will always be two categories that exist in this lifetime. That is freedom and slavery. And we need to understand that they exist beyond any one of our controls, but then we have choices which one we desire. You see, war is an engagement of humanity against humanity, where victory is achieved through deadly armed conflicts. The objective is to kill or be killed because you are the enemy to my pathway to freedom, real or false. John 8:32 states, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You see, everything is pointing toward freedom, freedom, freedom. And that's why we excel on it, is that the beauty of freedom should cause everyone to begin to rejoice and be excited about the other side of the other option, which is slavery. Wars are just as much a part of human behavior as breathing is. Throughout the history of humankind, there have been wars throughout the ages. In the 24th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is quoted, "You will hear wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." And verse 7, "Nation will rise against nation, the kingdom and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." You see, this is not our home. This place and the world is set up for destruction. The sad truth of it all is that wars are fought by brave men, women, and children, regardless of the cause. General George Patton stated, "Wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won by men and women. It is the spirit of the men who follow and of the man who leads that gains the victory." Think about that word, victory. When you think of salvation, you've got to think of victory. And then when we look at who we are in Christ by the glory of God, we are a victorious people. If victory is to be won, then we must focus on the strategy to make it happen. Those of us who are born again children of God know that Jesus warred on behalf of all humanity and won. He won. Thank God Almighty, Jesus won. Hallelujah. And he didn't win without being and making a brave sacrifice. Sacrificing his life that all might live, very unselfish. The proclaiming of the good news of Jesus was commissioned to the church that none would perish. The assignment would lead to violence, as stated by Jesus in Matthew's gospel 24 and 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. In the midst of this evil, violence, and hatred, what kind of persons are we expected to be? What kind of model could the Christian warrior pattern themselves after? After all, we're all soldiers in God's army. Let us return to General Patton's statement. Wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won by men. It is the spirit of the men who follow and of the man who leads that gain the victory. Who's leading you? It's a question that all of us have to answer. Who's really leading you? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it self? It is ironic that the metaphorical model identified by Jesus and Paul is that of a good soldier. Therefore, if the Christian believer is going to war for souls, their conduct and behavior must mirror that of a good soldier. It's a great thing that soldiers and all those who stood here are portrayals of what the Christian life should be like. These brave men and women that stood before you this morning is a metaphorical direction and comparison that God is using for the church. So journey with me as we explore what that would look like. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, and do suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Well, the first thing is any soldier who served in our great nation. They had to devote to the one who called them, Uncle Sam. I remember the day that we took the oath as a young man. I remember the understanding that we were here for one cause, and that is to honor the leadership that has been put in place, that through that leadership, we would become good soldiers and accomplish the mission that would be assigned to us. You see, the term good soldier only occurs here in the New Testament in a military metaphor. However, a common throughout scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, it reads, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, the authorities and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Well, if we are going to war, we must be devoted to God. As a soldier in the military, those who were commissioned officers and those non-commissioned officers, those sergeants, I remember I feared them. When I stood in the drill sergeant in basic training with the Smokey Bear hat on, when they looked at you in your face and they commanded you to do something, the adrenaline of fear pumped through you to the degree that you got confused by fear and made sure that you could do it to the best of your ability so as not to be disciplined. I remember I forgot to say, yes, drill sergeant, when my name was called. And as a result of forgetting that, I had to go stand on the little hill and yell out continuously, here, drill sergeant. Here, drill sergeant. It was embarrassing, but I was a soldier. I was in the army, and I was under the command of my leaders. And when they said move, we moved. When they said eat, you eat. It was a fun time of realizing the training and basic and how you were dehumanized, de-civilianized to become a soldier. The thinking had to change, the concepts, the environment, all the requirements of leadership and authority were imperative if you were going to be successful. The training was essential. It was important. And we stood at attention early in the morning. We had to salute the flag. We had to stand and salute officers and their commission. We had to work together. We even went out on the lines and police cigarette butts. We were soldiers. And so sometimes it requires us to realize that we're going to be soldiers and good in the army of the Lord. We've got to be devoted to the call and to those that called us. The second thing is we must be prepared for battle. And Jesus returned to Capernaum. A Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you to come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I said to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those who were following him and said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven." You see, here again, the key point is be prepared for battle. We are in a warfare. I recall when I went to Vietnam and the training that we went through. And when we got there, we had a period of acclimation to the environment. I had not known that the enemy was not only the VC, but they were mosquitoes. Mosquitoes had no line of demarcation. They had no perimeters. They were everywhere. They did not tell us about those mosquitoes except take the malaria pills. And so we would pop the pills because of malaria. We had many troops there were recipients of this harmful disease of malaria, and the fevers would be so high they packed them in ice to ship them back to America. You see, the enemy comes in all forms and fashion. It doesn't have to be the enemy that you think it is. It's the subtle enemies of this life. They usually attack us when we are not focused on the command and faithful on the authority. They sneak in and they rob us of who we are. I recall that not only was the VCs, other humans, the enemy, but there were the booby traps, and there were the snakes, the vipers, that was bite and kill before you could hit the ground. There were the jungles that were so treacherous you couldn't see your hand in front of you in some cases, to hike through, to fight. And then there was the temperatures and the humidity, well over 100 degrees, carrying over 70 pounds through those jungles, sweating. And then there were the monsoons, the rains. With rain continuously, the water pounding on your helmet and you, and the mosquitoes. And then you had the snakes and all the other critters in the jungle. You had the booby traps. You had the snipers. It seemed almost impossible. The odds were so against you. You didn't know what it was to sleep on a cot or in a bed. We slept on the ground. And if you were fortunate, you had a poncho liner. A poncho. And they were used to wrap up the dead that didn't make it back. And so what is so detrimental to humanity? It's that the fears of this world and the evil that has come about as a result of the sins of man against God. It is imputed upon us that the only way to escape this, to find freedom in all of this, is that we've got to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I wasn't a Christian when I was in Vietnam. I was a sinner. I learned how to smoke hashish and marijuana and the X-rated movies, and to go down to the cities and the villages, to the brothels. I was so deceived and so blind at the age of 18 that I had no knowledge. I thought I had freedom. Little did I know we were in bondage, blind and deceived. I never forget that as we served, we had a choice to be a good soldier or we could be a misled, misguided soldier. Many times we were not faithful. Rather than being on guard duty, looking out for the enemy, we become so complacent that we would wind up drinking and smoking reefer and drinking alcohol on guard duty. That complacency led where the enemy was committed to his mission, would come in and invade our perimeters and kill the men and women. You see, the enemy wants us to become complacent. He wants us to sit back and lull into a period of do nothing. But I'm here to tell you that we've always got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to be men and women who are committed to serve. Among people of military prowess, the soldier has always stood as the model of unhesitating obedience, of perfect loyalty, of single-minded and heroic devotion, and of the ultimate in self-sacrifice. Yes, self-sacrifice. I know what it means to have good soldiers who have sacrificed their lives. I never forget on February 25th, 1978. And to some of you Vietnam veterans and other military vets, this may not sound well. But the longest day of my life happened that day. We were on an ambush. We were helicoptered on choppers and taken to a landing zone in the jungles, Lam Dong, Providence. And when I got there, I was excited because we knew that there was an enemy there and we had been trained to fight the enemy. And so we got off those choppers, and as we approached in the jungle and went about 25 yards into the jungle, automatic weapon firing firearms open up all around us. I never seen or heard so much gunfire in my life. And the devastating thing about it was coming at me and my co-fellows. As we approached, we dropped the rucksacks and moved to the target, firing back as we approached. You see, that's how it is with us in this world and wanting freedom. We don't realize that our young people and even some middle-aged and older want to be free and go out into this world and explore it, and not realize that in this world there are enemies that's waiting to ambush them. I know about that too. And so we go into war. And on that day, I was assistant machine gunner. Brent was the machine gunner, and we went to set up a perimeter. And as we sat there, the firefight lasted for 10 minutes. Usually 5 to 7 minutes, it's over with. That's how it is in this world where Satan comes to do and engage you in war. He comes and he snipers attack, and he puts booby traps out for you, and he causes you to make missteps and say things that you shouldn't. But then all of a sudden, he himself attacks you. What do we do when we're under fire, when we realize that the enemy is trying to take our lives? You see, Satan wants his company of supporters to go to hell with him and burn forever. But Jesus gave his life that we might be free. And fighting with the uniform on, it was not about my life, it was about the life of the people that we were fighting for our nation. And so therefore we fought for each other, realizing that if we didn't fight for each other, then who would fight for us? You see, during that time, America didn't like its soldiers. America was at war with its own self. The civil rights movement, the hippie movement, the drugs, invasion, and every crazy thing you can think of was happening in this nation. And many didn't like the Vietnam War. And as a result, they took it out on the soldiers. You see, that was a painful time to hear the news. I wouldn't even listen to it because your own people that you think supporting you are not there. Folks, that's how it is when you become a child of God. And you decide to put on the uniform of Jesus. And you think there are people that's going to support you and stand with you. And you'll be surprised that they are not there when you need you. When you need them, they're gone. And that day to be fighting was not about necessarily a nation, but it was about fighting for each other to make sure that each of us would make it back to the world, we would call it. Well, as we began to fire, the firefight lasted longer than we had intended. And that's what happens to so many in this world. They get engaged in the warfare of this world, and it lasts longer than they intended it to last. It's painful, but there seems to be no way to escape. And on that day, as we laid on the ground firing back, it turned out to be 15 minutes. We all had 700 rounds, and my M16 had been fired so frequently and at such a rate that the rounds would jam in the cylinder. And I would have to take and grab the hot barrel and take the rod to eject that round out of the chamber. You see, that's what it's like on this side of heaven. Is that you think you have your weapons, you think you have the security of all the things that you have heard that would make you great, your academic careers and your employment and your income and your transportation. And then they begin to break down on you. They fail you when you think you have got it going. They are not there when you most need them. Then who do you turn to? Where do you turn to? And so what happened is that the machine gunner said, "Smitty, I only have 200 rounds left. You've got to go and get the other ammunition." That meant I had to stand up under fire and run back about 25 yards and find our rucksacks that had the ammo on it, the bandoliers. You see, the challenges of life are just not simple and plain. When you try to move forward to advance your stand, there's always some challenges at you. There are those things that are targeting you that you never thought of. The finances, the employment, the clothing, the shelter, the food. So many things are attacking you, but you've got to run to accomplish and to get the ammo, the things that are needed, essential for you to survive. And you don't care about being shot at because you're a soldier. You're not afraid of being hit by the enemy's fire as long as you accomplish the mission. And that's how we must be. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Oh, it'll come at us. It will attack us. It will find a place to try and weaken you, but you stand bold and courageous, knowing that, oh, you may come, but you won't consume me. For greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I went and got the ammo and came back, and as we got back, the intensity of the fighting increased. We set up the machine gun and fired up those 200 rounds, those 400 rounds. And soon we realized we were running out of ammo again. You know, the enemy is not going to give you a break. He's not going to look at you and see that you're hurting and that you're under fire. He's going to continue to come at you, especially when he thinks he's got an advantage over you. Remember, always take advantage of the advantage, no matter what the odds are. Your advantage is greater is he. The word of God. I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I'll not quit. I'll not sit. I'll not be silent. But I stand, and when I stood, I still stand, because my God who dwells in me and the power of the Holy Spirit has given me the fortitude to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. That's how we win. We are not people who have been given a spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. We are not going to break under pressure. We are not going to quit. we're not going to be weakened. To those brave men and women standing here, you saw heroes today. And as the enemy began to fire, my partner said, Smitty, I got to leave and you got to hold this position because I think we're going to be overran. And I've got to guard the CP. At that time, we had called in the gunships, the commander, and the gunships began to drop rockets on us. We were so close to combat hand to hand. The rockets coming out making great noises of explosions, almost putting you in fear. But here now, I'm all alone. That's what the world does to you. They have friends in the world that you think are with you, and then when you run out of what they want from you, then they all leave you. And there you are by yourself, hurting. And you want to find fear, but fear cannot come because I've got a mission. I've got to complete it. I've been trained. I've been equipped. I know that as a child of God, I am going to prevail. And on that day, I laid on the ground in a prone position. And the rockets set the underbrush afire. We were behind a little small tree, shaking out one round and firing, and taking the, as if I was in the first war, the Revolutionary War, fighting in a 21st century war. Let me assure you, that's how it feels sometimes. It feels like you're fighting with unequipped equipment. You don't have all the tools that you need, and the enemy seems to be coming at you with everything that's modernized. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a God that has created everything on the face of this earth, and all the enemy can do is take what God has created and discover and invent, but they can't create. It's been done. We are the created vessels of God Almighty in His image and in His likeness, and you're somebody special. You've got everything that you need pertaining to godliness and righteousness. You are a child of God. Your name is written in glory. Don't you let the enemy intimidate you. You stand tall and courageous and bold and proclaim that I am a child of God and I am a conqueror in all things that come my way. That's who you are. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know you had it like that. And as we sat there that evening, my life wasn't thinking about dying. I had no fear of dying. But if I died, I was going to die fighting. And so the fire coming up on my side, the flames about 6 feet or so high, my weapon is jammed, and the rucksacks that I had gotten had grenades in them, and they were in the path of the fire, the flames. You see, the enemy will pin you down. He will pin you down. And the flames of hell will come at you to consume you. He doesn't care about you. This world doesn't believe in you. And the only reason it wants you is to take you to hell with it. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not your friendly friends. They're your enemies. And so as I was there, I realized if I didn't get that rucksack out of the path of the fire, that they were going to blow up and I would die that day. And so I began to low crawl from the tree. And as I moved several feet on a low crawl, I grabbed one of the rucksacks and lifted it up and tossed it over my head out of the path of the fire and did a low crawl back to my position. You see, if you never attempt anything, you'll never gain anything. We are people of faith. People of faith. That means we may not see it, but we know we got to do it. It may not be clear and it doesn't make sense sometimes, but you got to know that you've got the strength to do it because God is for you. You can't quit. You can't sit. You can't be silent. You can't give up. You've got to always move forward. Sometimes you have to crawl. But that's all right as long as you're moving forward. And as I got back, And I went this time to stick my leg out, to hook to a root to get leverage. The machine gun fire came down near my side and struck me in my leg and spun my body around. The pain was so entrenching. It hurt, folks. Now, not only looking at the flames of hell come at me, and my weapon is jammed, but now I'm hit and bleeding and hurting. And I cried out for help. There was nobody around me. I said, I'm hit. I'm hit. I'm hit. You see, there are people around us that are pinned down by the enemy's fire. The flames of hell is closing in on them. And they've been wounded and bruised and contused. They're hurting. It could be the drugs, the alcohol. It could be the financial destruction. It could be rejection by family members. It doesn't matter, but they have found themselves in a world where they are helpless. And I lay there. I didn't think about dying. I just knew that some way I'd make it. You see, as Christians, there's nothing that should cause us to doubt our faith. To doubt our belief in God, we must always realize that we are going to make it. Oh, I may be wounded, bruised, and contused, but I'm still going to hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus. I never surrender, I never quit, because I know that in Christ I have freedom that I can never experience anyplace else. And so I know what it means to hurt. And then out of nowhere, I heard Frank. He cried out, said, Smitty, Smitty, they in front of you. You better fire. And I yelled back to Frank. I said, Frank, I can't. My weapon is jammed. And I've been hit. And as he began to run toward me, he kneeled down about 10 yards from me and began to open fire. And as he opened fire to kneel, automatic weapon fire that was pinning me down and switched over to him. It hit him in his face and his torso. And blood began to pour out of his face and his body. And he turned to me. His eyes open. As if to say, Smitty, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And his body fell to the ground. Folks, I'm here to tell you, everybody needs a rescuer. Everybody needs a helper. And there's no greater ones than Christians or soldiers who commit their lives for their brother. He gave his life that I might live. A sinner. I knew Franks was a Christian. And that day he gave it all, the ultimate sacrifice to save me. A nothing, a nobody. You see, we've got to go after the nobodies. They've been wounded. They're pinned down. They're hurting. The drugs, the alcohol, the immoralities, the darkness is smothering them. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. A little different, but you've been there. When Franks fell to that ground that day, shortly the medic ran up and said, I heard you cry, Smitty. You see, God is your present help in the time of trouble. When it looked like it's all over and everything is going bad, there God is. Reaching out of his hand and said, take my hand and I'll lead you on. And the medic docked through his body against mine and said, Smitty, do you have grenades in that rucksack? I said, yeah. He said, hug the ground. And all of a sudden, there was a great explosion. We were within 3 feet of that rucksack. with the grenades. And everything went white. Just pure white and quiet. I don't know how long of a period of time it was, but everything just shut down. And when I came through, I was alive. And I looked at my body, no shrapnel was in it. Doc, who was laying up against me, no shrapnel in his body. It had put out the fire. The explosion caused the fire to stop. An explosion. And unfortunately, Charles, who was with Frank about 10 yards from him, the shrapnel went and ripped open his skull, and his brain matter was seeping out when I saw him at the field hospital. You see, Satan doesn't care who he wounds, who he hurts. But these men, the Christian, are sacrificial. They would give their lives that others might live. Folks, life is not fair. But God is good. God is good. God is good. And since that day, I made it home. At the age of 27, going through all kind of traumas, Jesus came into my life. And thank God I've been set free. No more drugs, no more alcohol. It's over 40 years now. My wife and my mother, they put up with so much of a young man that was confused. I was a police officer, confused and perplexed and PTSD. But people loved me enough, Christians who gathered around me and wouldn't give up for me. Listen, some of you have family members. You have neighbors. You have co-workers. You have classmates. They're hurting. They're pinned down. Are you going to be bold and rescue them? Are you going to extend your hand of deliverance and faith and salvation to them? That's who we are. We are soldiers in the army of God. And if this army would rise up across this nation and we begin to let our light shine to reflect darkness and become the salt that we are to stop the contamination of sin, we can change the very fabrics of this nation. We are the answer for the world. It's not the White House or the State House, but it's the church house. That's where hope is. That's where victory is. That's where joy is. That's where victory and freedom is realized. I made a commitment because when I accepted Jesus, I had a reflection back on Frank's, how he shed his blood on that 25th of February, 67, I'm sorry. Gave his life for me. Jesus did the same for you and I. It cost him everything that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to stand. Hallelujah. And the first thing I want you to realize to our veterans, our soldiers, men and women who gave your life that this nation may be free. I want to say thank you for being bold and courageous. But I want to challenge you. You've got training and you've got experiences that the church needs. You bring something to the table that the church needs. You know how to put together a strategy to go after the enemy. You know how to invade them where they are. And I believe God gave you that opportunity so that you could bring it to the church. You're not afraid, you're not ashamed. And to each of you men and women of God, soldiers in the army of the Lord, The church needs you. Because those people that are dying on their way to hell need you. They need to know about Jesus. And who else can tell them but you? Who else can rescue them and reach out with the love of God but you? If you today would pray this prayer, this covenant prayer, if you feel that you too are willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, I want you to pray this covenant prayer. If you would bow your heads. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're a soldier in his army. This life is going to pass away, but we are going to eternity. And how great it will be when he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Here are your rewards. Here are your rewards for your labors. If there's those of you who just happen to be here and you're not committed to Jesus yet, you're not pray that salvation prayer. The pastor is here, and we're going to give you opportunity to come and get your life right with him. But right now, this is the day of freedom and liberty. This is where we need to mobilize the saints, the warriors. I want you to think about that day, whether it was in the church, at the altar, at the camp, or in your home, or wherever, and you gave your life to Jesus. That was your birthday of eternity. That's the most blessed day of your life. The day that you said, "Lord, I give my life to you." Think about that day. That is the day of joy and rejoicing. And we should think about it often, because the scripture teaches that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. Our testimony. That's your testimony. Think about that day of liberation, of freedom. And now I want you to repeat this prayer, this covenant prayer with me. I challenge you. It's going to challenge you. But it's time for us to be bold and courageous. It's time for us. Our names are written in glory. It's well with our souls. If we would die, drop dead today, we're going to be with the Lord and get our new glorified bodies. But those that don't know him, they're going to the lake of fire. We can't let that happen. We refuse to let that happen. So I want you to repeat after me. Dear God, I stand before you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I covenant with you that I am your child. I confess that truth. And I love that truth. I covenant with you that I will not be ashamed of the gospel, because I know it's your power unto salvation. God, I covenant that I would have a passion for those that are perishing as you have. That I covenant, dear God, that I will give of myself, of my resources, of my time to reach those that are burdened and pinned down. God, I covenant today that I will be your hands and your voice to touch those that are pinned down and hurting. God, I covenant that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that I will be bold and courageous, and I will proclaim Jesus everywhere I go. I covenant today that I will enter into every opportunity you provide to let my light shine. To your glory and your honor. Today I covenant. God, use me. Use me, Father, that none perish. In Jesus' name, amen.